Kumlen and Ablak Gemara, it's Vav Tishrei today. Today is a very special day. Today we finished the Rambam, both cycles. Those who learn three Prokim and those who learn one Perek Rambam both finished today. So today is Today is Siyum Rambam. So we should have had some Zaynus and L'chaim. Tomorrow starts all over again, so everyone can join in and start either one Perek or three Prokim. We are up to Daf Ayin Beis Omer Aleph. Mishnah. We just learned the concept that somebody gets punished today for behavior of tomorrow. The Mishnah, you have it. We're going to give another example where we're going to punish somebody now for what he'll do later. If somebody breaks into your house, like literally means through a cave, no clandestinely. Now, this person, if you see him, you're allowed to kill him. You're allowed to kill him in self-defense. Why? Because he knows that if you get the people of their home, they can defend their money. See, he's prepared to go to do whatever it takes to get the money, and he's prepared to kill you. And we have a rule in Judaism, if somebody is attacking you, you have a right to defend yourself. A right of self-defense. That's an inalienable right. So says the Mishnah, Hababa Machteris, a guy comes in through this tunnel, Nidain al Shem Seifa, you can now kill him because we know what he'll do at the end. We'll know what he'll do at the end. There's a big machlek in Achreinim. Is this a punishment for the guy or is this more to protect yourself? What is it? And it's later on in the Gemara as well. And it would seem the fact that we're flowing on from Ben Sora and Moira. It seems there's a little bit of a punishment involved here as well. Not just self-defense, but a punishment for the guy doing this in the first place. Anyway, now, we have a concept in halacha called Kamle B'Rabbi Menei, which means if you do something that incurs two punishments, I burn your house down on Shabbos. Since you're chayiv misi for burning the house down, I don't have to pay you for the contents of the house because I'm going to get the stricter punishment. Even if I did it by mistake, so I don't get the stricter punishment, but because I did an aveira that comes with the chayiv misi, I am potter. This guy who broke into the house, which we're going to use the word reidif later on, you know, he's chasing after you. This guy deserves to be killed. So if he also broke things while he was there, he doesn't have to pay for it. Says the Mishnah, the guy broke into the house and he broke a barrel. Im yesh le'damim, if he's the person that you're allowed to kill, that his life is on the line, and im yesh le'damim, if the person defending himself had no right to kill him, because you know for a fact he won't kill you, l'mashal. If it was a father breaking into a son's house, there's no way that a father who's breaking into a son's house would ever kill his own son. A son with his father is a whole different story, as we had in Pesach Nabeis and Beis. But a father and a son would never kill a son. So then you had no right to kill him. So then since he was not chayim, is chayim, and if the father broke pots and pans while he was in the house, he has to pay for it. If you kill the gadif, you won't be held liable because you had a right to do that. And that guy broke kalim, then since he's chayim, a punishment of misa, potter is potter for any money matter. Says the Gemara. Omar Rav says, Rav, my time, but the machteres, what's going on here? What's the logic of this person who broke in the house secretly, discreetly? Ain odem mamit atzma moina. He knows nobody lets someone else come in and just take his money away. So therefore, v'haymeimer Omar, this guy says, yazilne koi lapoi. So the gadif, there's a Gemara right there. If the gadif goes in and he says, oh, if he comes towards me, v'loishavikli, if he comes towards me, v'loishavikli, okay, we're in the Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, about four lines into the page. E azil na koy lapoy. If he comes towards me, v'loy shavi, let's let me go. V'e koy lapoy katunle. I will go ahead and kill him. So in other words, since the ganav is prepared to kill him, you're allowed to defend yourself. V'atayda amra, and the Tayda says, im bol lahargoy. Somebody wants to kill you. Is hashkem lahargoy? Kill him first. Amar Rav says it. The Tayda says that. Amar Rav says Rav. Now comes along Rav and makes the following qualification. Habob machteres, if somebody goes and breaks into somebody's house, then not tal kalim, but didn't break. We just said if he breaks kalim, come with the rabbanei, since he allowed to kill him, so he doesn't have to pay for money. What happens if he just stole kalim and the kalim are still in existence? The yotze potter, he can keep those things that he stole. The ganav breaks in, and since you're allowed to kill the ganav, even though you didn't kill him, he stole the items, he can keep it. My timer, what possible logic can there be in that?
If you kill him, you can't keep it.
No, you're right. But Damim Kananu, he bought these Kalim with his life. In other words, since he deserves to be killed, therefore, come Lebe de Rabbi Menei, and we say he can keep the money. That means, according to Rav, even though the items are still in existence, it's already considered it belongs to the Ganef, and therefore he bought it with his life. Omar Rabbi says, Rabbi Mistabre Milsed. It's his. It's his family. Omar Rabbi, it's the Ganef's. Mistabre Milsed Rav, I disagree. I think what Rav is really trying to say is, Bishashivan, if he broke the pot, if he broke it, then he has to pay damages, so because he's paying with his life, even though it doesn't get killed, he doesn't have to pay damages. The lesnuk is no longer in existence. Avol nota, but if he stole the pot, it's still in existence. Sorry?
If he stole the pot, if you kill him and the pots are there, you can take him back. You don't have to go and live it.
We're talking about Frumi Eden who follow the laws.
Yeah.
If the law says that it belongs to the Ganav, you cannot take it back, even though it's yours. That's what Rav said. Says Rav, no. The pot is still there. It still belongs to the owner. It never belonged to the Ganav, and therefore the owner can take it.
If you can't kill him if he's been tunneling.
You could.
You can.
If he's tunneling because he's prepared to kill you in case he has to. Except if it's your father. If you break into your son's house, he's not allowed to kill you.
Okay.
Thank you. However, Elokim Amarav says, Rav, but I swear that what Rav is really saying is, I feel not. I swear that Rav is actually saying that even if he took the actual item and keep it, why? Because Rav holds that when you steal it, it becomes yours. And therefore, the Ganav now is Chayv Misa, he can keep it. I prove it to you. Yesh Leidamim V'Nentzu is Chayv. So what happens, let's say that you're not allowed to kill, let's say in a case you're not allowed to kill him, if you kill him, you're going to be the murderer. It'll be responsible. And the Ganav went ahead and had an accident. Chayv, he has to pay you back because he's responsible. When the Ganav steals something, and as long as it's in his rishus, he takes full responsibility. Alma b'shus akayim. That was says that ayah that who why does the ganef have to pay for an accident? Because it belongs to the ganef, and that's why he says Rav that if even though the object is still in existence, that he belongs to the ganef, and if he and he can keep it. However, it's a mistake. Says Rav, I disagree with Rav. I hold that if the object is in existence, you got to give it back. Why? You're right. A ganef steals something. If it breaks while in his possession, he's responsible. The Torah holds him liable because he stole it. But to own it, who the real, the rightful owner? Who is the rightful owner? The rightful owner is the original owner. Is to call the object still in existence, it belongs to the original owner. So therefore, why should the ganef be able to keep it? Midi the havei shel, just like a borrower. Just like a borrower. A borrower doesn't own it. A borrower is responsible for all accidents, but it's not his. It belongs to the owner. Same thing about a ganef.
But when is he going to give it back?
If you take him to the entitler, you get it back. However, so Machlek is Rav and Rav and Rav. Rav holds that even if the object is in existence, the Gan doesn't give it back because he deserved to be killed. He can keep it. And Rav says, no. Kolzman, the object is in existence, it belongs to the Nignif, to the victim. It's only if he breaks it, he shatters it, or whatever, he makes a shinu that he can keep it because he bought it with his life. You came in a cave, and you broke the barrel. That's when he's potter. Seems only if you broke it, but if the barrel was still whole and intact, the ganef can't keep it. So the Mishnah said, yesh leidamim, that if the guy were to murder the ganef, he would be responsible, then chayev, then the ganef doesn't deserve to die, then the ganef obviously has to pay for it. Ein leidamim, if you had a right to kill the ganef, then the ganef is chayev misa, so come and drop it. Potter. So it seems from the Mishnah time, and the only reason why the ganef is potter, this is because he broke it, all he owes is a chiv of money, so therefore, he come and drop it. The chi ein leidamim potter. Hanata loy. But it seems that only if you broke it, we say there's difference. But if not, you took the keli intact, it still belongs to the victim, and therefore the ganef doesn't get to keep it. So you know, you can't bring a diuk from the Mishnah. Why? Because who adin? Truth of the matter is, I feel not lami. Even if you took the item itself, the same thing applies. I behold the katoni shover as a chavis. Why does the Mishnah say he broke the chavis? Kamashla teach you. The chi yesh loy dummy when you have money. Afagav the shibur, even though he broke it, nami chayiv. To teach you that if he has money, even though he broke it, you chayiv. So even though he broke it, you chayiv. Says the Gemara, that's a chiddush. The chiddush is that if you're not allowed to kill him, for example, if it's your father, then even though the guy broke it, he is pater, because there's no chiv missing here. Says the Gemara, what's the chiddush then? So what's the chiddush? Pshita. Mazigu. I broke into your house and I break your things and you tell me that I have to pay you for the things I broke. If I'm not chayv mis, of course I have to pay you. I broke your things. Then ha kamashla, I feel like even though it was unintentional, my kamashla, and that's a chiddush. Adam ulaylam. We learned in Baba Kamma that a person is always responsible, whether he intended it to or not. Even if you're asleep, you're responsible. Tanim, we learned Adam ulaylam. A person is always guilty, is responsible. Bein b'shegi, bein b'mezid, bein b'oinid, bein b'ratzer, willingly or whatever. Kasha, that's a problem, but it's not a strong kasha. Rashi explains over here, there's a difference between the shas, whenever it says the word kasha, or it says the word tiyufta. Kasha means, okay, I have a question, but it's not a strong question, because the Mishnah doesn't say clearly here that if it didn't break with whole, then you, after you're back, you made a diuk. But tiyufta means when it's an ironclad question. But even tiyufta, sometimes we had tiyufta, and then the Gemara still maintained that opinion. Okay, most of Rabbi Barabaya, Rabbi Barabaya has a question. We learned Hagoyniv Kis B'Shabbes. He's asking a question to Rav. You said before that if the object is still in existence, even though that the Ganav is Chayim Issa, you still have to go back. Let me ask a question. It says Hagoyniv Kis B'Shabbes. If I break into your house on Shabbos and I steal a wallet, how did I steal the wallet? I lifted it. So when I lifted, what did I do? I did a kinyan called Hagbah, lifting, which I made in mine. So when did I become a Ganav? You don't become a Ganav unless you make a kinyan. When did I become a Ganav? The moment I lifted it. We said, what? In your house. And yet, when am I liable for Shabbos? Only when you took it outside. So therefore, because the chiv of money did not happen concurrently with the chiv of Misa, so therefore I have to pay back the money. Before you came to the Easter of Shabbos. What about you were dragging it on the floor, you did not do kinyan akbar. So how was I koina your item that I stole? Your wallet. How was I koina it? Only when I took it outside, I made a kinyan mashicha. When did I become chayiv on Shabbos? When I took it outside, and she said, Abim, at the same time. And that they both come at the same time. Let's just do Rashi. How did you become chayiv in Shabbos? Because Shabbos you need to hanocha. Was it Rashi over here? How you megadav v'yaitze? About 7 lines at the bottom. How you, which means shaloi higbi, you didn't lift it. V'loi konu b'teicha bais. I wasn't koine it in the house before. Avol kishi yaitze. She said, Rabbi, when I went out in the street, konu. How was I koine? Bishinu d'shus. I took something out of your house into the street. Shahitziya m'shus abayim. But how was I koine? What kinyan is it? What kinyan is it when you take from the Shusayach and Shusarabim? It's not kinyan Meshichah, because we learn Meshichah is only to another private place or to a Tzidah Shusarabim. Not to a Shusarabim. I'm not pulling it to my Rishus, because there's no Rishus. You don't have a Rishus Shusarabim. So what kinyan is there here? And how are you kinyan Shabbos if you're still dragging it? So it says Rashi. What you did was you took one hand and you put it less than 3 tefachim to the ground, which is called Lavud. And with the other hand, you had the wallet, you placed it in the hand that was stationary near the ground. So now you made Meshicha because your hand is lying there. So he went into your hand, and he went into your hand, that's a Meshicha, and you chayiv Shabbos because your hand is resting within 3 tefachim of the ground. The yodeh chashuva le'kabor ka'arbor, because your hand is, even though it's only 1 tefach wide, is considered like 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. The harehu lechatzerei, it's considered that you put it in your pocket, you put it into your chatzer. So you chayiv. So Rashi learns this not actually meshicha. This is chatzer. This is kinyan chatzer. Even though how can I have a chatzer in the middle of a public place? Because my hand, wherever I am, is mine. So when I put it in my hand, I have a place in the proper chatzah. So I'm koine the gneva kinya chatzah, but I'm also chayiv shabbat because I made a hanocha. Less than 3 feet from the ground. A pretty big wallet to do. You did it deliberately because you don't want to. You want to give your children an inheritance and whatever, and then keep it. You're a good guy. So you stole it, you made sure your shabbat, because if you would have picked it up in the house, you have to give the money back. So you gain nothing here. You keep the money.
You keep the money.
Yeah, and you just give your life up. That's right. And then so Shabbos and Geneva come at the same time. That's what I'm learning. Machlek is whether it's kinyan chotzer, whether it's kinyan hagbah, whatever it is. Rashi learns clearly it's kinyan chotzer. Tasted learns hagbah. Potter mitashlum in exashi, potter in paying. Alma, what do we have here? Afapi, shahakis, vahamos kiyami. They wouldn't get damaged. The money's right here. The money's right here, and according to Rav, makes sense, you're potter from paying. But according to Rav, Rav says the money's still in existence. It's not, does not become the ganas, you got to give it back. Amrini bedomi kanunu, he bought it with money. We don't take away from it. You've done Rav Dami to tell him not to lie. Says the Gemara, you're right. Back to the Gemara. You know why he's potter over here? The Hilchos said the Shadinu Benara. They don't. You no longer have the money either. You idiot took the money and threw it in the river. So it's gone. Rav, ignivu le dikre b'machtarte. Rav, somehow people broke into his house via this cave and stole his rams. Now, since it was chayiv misa, according to Rava, even though the ram is still alive, they can keep it, right? According to Rava, that even though the the ram is still alive. No, sorry. Rava holds that the ram is still alive. You can keep it, but Rava agrees. He says that the ram is alive. You got to give it back. But when it happened to him personally, you know what he did? Ahadrinu Nela, the ganavim were caught and they gave him back the rams. V'loy kablinu. He refused to take it back. Now, even though Rava says that the ganav, if this thing is still alive, or still exists, you got to give it back, Rava refused to take it back. Amar hoil v'nafik mipume de Rav. Since Rav says the ganav can keep it, I respect Rav's opinion, even though I personally disagree in halacha, but when it comes to me personally, I'm going to be machmir here. It's an extraordinary thing. And he followed Rav. Tell you what, right? Tayshi already asked the question, but as far as the ganav is concerned, if he wants to do tshuva, the only way to do tshuva is by giving it back to be yaitzei shemaim. Why would Rava not allow the guy to do tshuva? So it's okay, you're not forcing him, but voluntarily letting him give it back. Why are you denying him the opportunity to do tshuva? So Tayshi says, talking about a case where the ganav said, I'll give it back to you, only if the halacha says I have to give it back to you. He's a frum ganav. He only follows the halacha. Says he, what about we learned. It says in the Braise, Ein Loi Damim. It says in the Pasik that if the guy does not deserve to die, it says in Pasik this, Ein Loi Damim, that the guy does not deserve to die. And then the Pasik says, Im Zorcha Hashemesh, Olav. The Pasik says like this, Im Ein Loi Damim. The guy does not deserve to die. Im zorcha shemesh olav, the sun shined on him. What does it mean? The sun shines on everybody. We'll see in a minute. And then it says, domim loy. He does have that he is guilty with his blood, and you can kill him. What's going on here? So we're going to use im zorcha shemesh on both parts of the pasuk and read as follows. V'chei hashemesh olav bevad zorcha, the sun only shines on this ganef. Elok, this I learned. Im barer loch hadover kishemesh, if you're 100% convinced like the sun, she'ein lo shalom imar, that he wants to kill you, then hargeyu, that ein lo damim, that you, there's nothing, if I kill him, I will not be held responsible, because he deserves to die. But only when? Only im zorchel of hashemesh. The only time you're allowed to kill him is if you know for a fact, just like the sun shines is 100% a fact, I know for a fact he will kill me, which basically is everybody except your own father. V'im lav al targeyu. But if not, don't kill him. That's one part. Tan Yidichul, another braise that takes a second out of the pasuk. Im zorcha shemesh olav damim loy. If you know for a fact, then damim loy is. What does that mean? That if you're going to kill him, damim loy, you're responsible. What do you mean? V'chi hashemesh olav b'vad zorcha eli im bar loch hashem. If you're 100% convinced she yesh leshalom loch, he does not want to kill you, then al tagei. If you're going to kill him, damim loy, you are held responsible. You shouldn't kill him. Im lav, if not hagei, then if you're not sure, you can kill him. Kasha stama stama. The first part is that the only time you know that if you know for a fact that he doesn't want to kill you, don't kill him. That means everybody else you're allowed to kill. And second part says the only time you're allowed to kill him, you know for a fact he does want to kill you. Otherwise, don't kill him. Stam. So it's a kasha from stam to stam. Like kasha. Kan, the next page. Kan, but of ala ben, the father wants to kill a son. You're 100% convinced he won't kill you unless you know for a fact otherwise. So min stam, you're not allowed to kill him. And can be ben ala av, but if a son goes after his father, a son can kill his father. So minastam, you could defend your father, can defend himself and kill the son, but not unless you know for a fact. Yeah. So I guess even though a father won't kill his son, but in self-defense he would. Amar Rav says Rav called asay aloy b'machtarte. Rav said, let me just tell you a fact. Anybody comes into my house, breaks into my house clandestinely through these cave tunnels. I don't trust him. I will kill him. Lebar, the only one that I won't is Abchanina Bar Sheila. Very strange Gemara. Why would he break into the house and steal? Anyway, my timer, why? Elema Mishum the Tzadiku, he's a Tzadik. Of course, Ibn Machtarta. Yet a Tzadik, he just broke into the house, he's trying to steal. So why would you trust him more than anybody else? Because I am convinced the Merachim Allah, he loves me, Kerachim Avala Ben, like a father loves a son. Very strange, Gemara. Oh, yeah. Talk about me learned. Dummim, it says in the Pasik, Dummim ain't lie. Sorry, it says in the Pasik, Dummim lie. It says, Mzor Hashem shall have Dummim lie. That the Dummim lie. You're allowed to kill him, Bein Bechol, Bein Beshabbos. You can kill him whether it's a weekday or whether it's Shabbos. Why is it written Dummim in plural? I'll tell you, you're allowed to kill him both days. Or Dummim lie, you're not allowed to kill him because you'll be held liable. Sorry, you'll be held liable. You're not allowed to, a son is not allowed to kill his father because the father would never kill you. And it makes no difference whether it's, what do you call it, whether it's Chol or whether it's Shabbos. Ain't like Dummim, that you're not held liable. Ain't like Dummim, that if you kill them, you're not held liable. Like, why, again, listen to Lashon Rabbim? Ain't b'chol b'm Shabbos. What's going on here? B'shleimer, ain't like Dummim, that you're not held liable. Ain't b'chol b'm Shabbos. It's a chiddush, that even though a court is not allowed to kill somebody in Shabbos, but you are. Salka would have thought, me did have a harugi bezdin in the b'shabbos, like Katlin, the guy deserves to be killed, the bezdin not to kill him. So I would have thought maybe self-defense also not, k'mar shalom, the Katlin. In other words, the Gemara is saying like this, based on the machlekes achareinim. We thought that the reason why you're allowed to kill this person is as a punishment, and the Tate is saying that you are representing the Bezdin, because there's no Bezdin here at the time. So you're the judge and the jury and the executioner, you're allowed to do that. So, and Shabbos, you're not allowed to. So the Chiddush is that you're not. It's not a punishment, it's a case of self-defense. You're allowed to. Okay, there's a Chiddush. El Adomim Lay, in the case where you're not allowed to kill the guy. And if you do, you're held liable. What's the Chiluk weekday Shabbos? Bein B'chay B'm Shabbos. Hash to B'chay L'Katlin. It matters during the week I'm not allowed to kill him. The B'Shabbos, the boy, you got to tell me I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos. What's the Chiddush here? I'm going to say the Chiddush is like Nitzach. Not only are you not allowed to kill him, El Fakech Ozegal. What happens if your father broke into your house and suddenly the tunnel caved in? Are you allowed to go ahead and save his life? Remember that he broke into your house. Who asked him to be there in the first place? And the chiddush is that yes, because he didn't come to kill you. Therefore, he came to steal your money. He didn't come to kill you. It's your father. Therefore, you have a mitzvah to save him. But if it's anybody else who's coming to kill you, let him drop dead. So why? Because he's already a dead man. In fact, you're not allowed to save him on Shabbos. You can't be a nice guy, because that guy is considered a dead. If a guy coming, anybody else but your father, he's called, the din is that he deserves to be killed, right? We said before, he's part of him paying money. He's a gavur, he's a dead man. If a dead man, you're not allowed to save a dead man on Shabbos, Michal Shabbos, to save a dead man. So legally, he's dead. Talk about what we learned. It says in Pasig, if this guy broke into your house clandestinely, if you found the guy there, Vohuka, and you hid him, and so on and so forth, then what? You're part of him. Now, a modern Lashon Vahuka, he was hit. The Chayyid just said Vahake, or whatever, like, you did it. Vahuka means he was hit by anybody. So we learn out from here that anybody can intervene. If you see somebody being threatened, the din of defending yourself is not just you, but anybody else should step in and prevent it from happening. The Chol Adam, anybody can do that, even not the victim himself. And he's allowed to kill him. Vameis, Bechomisa Sha'ata Yochalamisi. Interesting, Rashi says mutter, not that it's a mitzvah to intervene, mutter, you're allowed to. Says the Gemara, Bishleim of a hooker, Bechol Adam, there's a chiddush involved, I understand that a hooker, any person can intervene. So I would have thought maybe Balabayis, the owner himself, the Kimdein Adam, Maimon Atzal Moinai, I would have thought that maybe only the owner, because the guy is not coming at you with a knife, he's breaking into the house. The owner, the ganif knows if the owner is there, he has to be prepared to kill the owner, so the owner's allowed to defend himself. Aval achaloy, nobody else is being threatened by the guy. Nobody else is being threatened by the guy. So maybe you shouldn't get involved. Kamash Milan, since this guy is trying to hurt another Yid, he's called a roidif. And a roidif, everybody is permitted to go ahead and stop the roidif from doing what he's doing. Okay. Kamash Milan, the roidifu. Anybody can come intervene. El of a mace. You tell me you can kill him any kind of death. What's a chiddush? What is there? Bechom misa shati yechom misa lameli meretzei nafka. Even by punishment, we say that the Torah tells us to administer a certain kind of punishment. If for whatever reason you can, you can give him another one. The time we learn mais yumas hamake reitzeichu. You go ahead and kill the murderer because he's a murderer. Only yell of the misa mudabai only in case of a sword. Menayin shemiyati yochel la misa misakzul. But you can shati roshel la misa chom misa yochel la misa. Can you kill him any other form of death? Tamalayim and mais yumas mikom makim any form of death. The Gemara is shiny hossam, they cannot learn from there. The Amakra, mois humus, the Torah clearly says mois humus, it means any form of death. Freddy Gemara, but once you know by the Tzeach, he can kill him anyway. So if I want to defend another Yid from a Raidif, I can kill him any way possible. Mishum Davi Retzeach, and Goyal Adam, you have Retzeach and Goyal Adam, Shnei Ksum Boin Kech, you have both. By Retzeach and by Goyal Adam, the next of kin who's defending his relative who was killed by mistake. And he can kill the perpetrator any way he wants. Why would the Torah repeat it twice to tell you that only these two, nowhere else? That's why we need a special pasuk here that for hook of a mace, he can kill him and you can intervene any way possible. Talking about we learn machteres. If you found this guy breaking into your house through a machteres, ainly ela machteres, they broke through the wall. Gaga, if he came through the roof or chatzera, your courtyard, the kafifa, in your front veranda. Menayin, how do you know that's the same thing? You're allowed to defend yourself. It doesn't say you found him inside the tunnel. It says even machteres. It doesn't say machteres yimtza enu that you found in machteres. We say because it says in machteres yimtza haganef. That's extra. Why is the word ganef? Obviously, we're talking about ganef. Extra. We'll see you in a minute. Yeah. So, you know, what even from here, you might say a ganef, in any way he breaks in the house, if it appears to you that he is a ganef, that he's breaking in, therefore he's prepared to kill, if he has to, you're allowed to defend yourself. Become welcome. Im kein, ma tam eloyme machteres. Why does it say machteres? The Torah talks about the way, the way things normally happen. Normally, how does a ganef, remember, a ganef is not a gazlan. A gazlan is brazen. Middle of the day, shamsach nisht. A ganav is somebody who wants to be discreet. The best way to be discreet is digging tunnels under the ground. Tanya, either in another brayse, machteres says machteres. Ainly yela machteres. Gagav zeh minayin tevelam. You must say ganav. Mekom makom. Imke machtamle machteres. So this brayse is similar. But what do you do with the word machteres? Machtarte zuvi haser osai. In other words, normally we say you want to kill somebody, you have to have two witnesses, you got to give them a warning. Here you don't have to give a warning. The very fact that he broke into your house through the walls and he went through with a tunnel means that he knows that he's risking his life. He knows what's going to happen. It's as if he prepared and he's warned and you don't have to warn him again. As Rashi says, he was meisa nefesh to break into your house, so he's prepared to give his life up. So you don't need any other hasra. Yeah. But when is that? Only in the machteres. But not if he climbs over a wall or through a roof. Why does the Torah say machteres? Because machteres has a din different than everything else. Machtar tezui asra'osa, because he was mois and nefesh, takes a lot of effort and a long time to break through the wall. Not if he jumps over the wall. So, but every other case, you have to warn. Rav Huna says, cotton haroidif. If a cotton is chasing after somebody killed him, nitin latzila benafshay. Even a cotton. This is another proof it's not a punishment, because we don't punish katanim. This is more self-defense. For some reason, Rashi says if a cotton is chasing another cotton, I don't know why Rashi has to say that the victim also is a cotton. What's the relevance of that? Unless Rashi is saying a chiddush. Even though the victim is a cotton, anyone can come in and defend and kill this cotton and stop him. And this is a raya, like the second braisa, raidif does not need hasra. A raidif as well does not need hasra. If you need asra, how can you? The child is like a non-existent. How can you warn the child? Well, machteres. Why? But we learned before the Gemara, if the adult or the victim is able to wound the guy, he has no right to kill him. The only time, that's the whole story of Avner we had. The only time you're allowed to kill him is if you have no choice. So obviously, this kid. Is let's say, has a gun. And adult ahead, there's nothing you can do. Loishna gadol, loishna katan. I don't care if the the perpetrator got wool or cotton. Let me ask a question. Famous Gemara about abortion, right? That even though a Yid does not have the Isser of Ritzicha by abortion, he's not called a Nefesh yet, but still Osir to do abortion. What happens if the fetus is threatening the mother? So the fetus is considered a roidif. So we're allowed to go in, dissect the baby, and save the mother's life. Right? When it comes to a goy, Tesla had a tzorichin if you're allowed to. But yotza roisha, but once the baby came out, now that the baby came out, it's no longer than a roidif. Then the baby came out, so you have one person versus another person. Then who says you're allowed to kill the child in order to save the mother? You're not allowed to kill one Jew to save another Jew. You're not allowed to do anything. If you have a rule, you're not allowed to kill one person for another person. Rashi already has a question, the famous story about Sheva ben Bichri, who was running away from David HaMelech. He ran to the city, and they asked him to give them up. And they gave up Sheva ben Bichri. Why were they allowed to give him up? If you're not, we just said you're not allowed to save one person. Maybe had the whole Morg Subas there. That they say in the cave, give us this person, or we'll kill everybody. You're not allowed to give one person up for another person. So why over there they did? So he said, because there was a Moed ben Malchus, so Apidin, he deserved to be killed. Okay, if I'm. And the second thing, Rashi, which is in halacha they use, Rashi, if they wouldn't have given Shabichi, they would have killed every single person over there. So Shabichi would have been killed anyway, whether they gave him up or not. The only difference is that everybody else is getting killed, so they may be allowed to give him up, which then has a reflection in the case of the cave. If they nominate the person by his name, yeah. Writer. Am I roidifu? Bechayda, isn't he a roidif? It's an interesting question. Why the baby stick his head out? You're not allowed to kill the baby. Bechayda, who's threatening the mother? This child. Why, once a baby sticks his head, he can't? So the answer: Shani Hassan, the Mishmaya Koratfile. This is a natural event. I mean, the Eibishter made it so. So we cannot intervene. Name a Messiah, Raya, roidif, Shay, roidif, Achavel, Hargif, for somebody's chasing after someone to kill him. Oimalay, Ray. We tell the roidif, you should see she's solo. The guy is a Jew. We just said you don't have to give a warning. So we tell the roidif, you know the victim you're running after is Jewish. Uben brisu, he's a yid the bris. If he kills somebody, he get killed. We're allowed to kill you for saving, trying to kill him. He doesn't have to answer. Now, normal hasra, he has to answer back. I know and I don't care. We don't find any way he has to say that, which means it's not really hasra here at all. That I, you don't need hasra. You don't need hasra by a roidif. Says he wants no raya. No raya. Why not? I hear that B'Yisab Yudi, who doesn't believe in hasra, he holds that any hasra, you don't really have to hasra properly. The Tanya, Rabbi Yudai, Mechavir, and Tzorah, Tam Chachar, and Hasra. Hasra is only to, we should know he did it on purpose. We don't need to hear him say, I know and I don't care. But we don't need Hasra, because we don't. When, if you hold that Hasra is properly, is a protocol, you have to say, I know and I don't care, then even a Tam Chacham you have to give Hasra to, because we need to hear him say, I know and I don't care. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says, it's not, you don't need Hasra only to distinguish whether it's a Shoigig or a Mezid. Tam Chacham knows the halacha. You don't need to know. Everybody else, once you notify them, they know. They don't say, I know, I don't care. Who cares? Toshba coming here. Roidiv, Shay Roidiv, Achavel, Hargiv. Somebody was chasing after him. Amalei Rosh, he throws the Eid, Ben Brisu, Vatayr, Amjav, Damar, Damar, Shavich. Im Omar, Yodeyani, I know Shehu Kain. I know he's Jewish. Potter. He is Potter because it's not proper Asura. Proper Asura is, I know and I don't care. He didn't say, I know and I don't care. He just said, I know he's a Yid. So that's not Hasra. I'm a Nas Kainani Yosef, but I know what the punishment is, and I don't care. Then Chayiv. So see clearly from here that you do need Hasra by a Roidiv. Says the Gemara, no. Really, you don't need Hasra. So why in this case was the Hasra? Lay, see, you know what we're talking about here? The Koi betray Ibid Nara. There's nothing I can do to defend that the victim will. We're two sides of the river, I can't touch him. So I'm standing here as a witness, and I'm telling him, if you kill him, I'm going to go to Bezin, I'm going to report what I saw, and I'm giving you Hasra. To be a witness in a court case, you have to give Hasra. That's why that case is Hasra. The Matzi actually can't save him. My Yika, the boy, what can I do? Asu, the Beidinak. All I can do is bring to Bezin. And Beidina Boyas Rabbezin doesn't need Hasra. Or he Boyas Ema. Amalok Ravuna said, Anoda Amni Ketana Machteris. Ravuna says, I following the Tana of Machteris, the Amma Machtarte Zuvi Hasra. In other words, I follow that other Braisa which says that a Machteris does not need Hasra, which means really a Raidiv does not need Hasra. So if we see the guy break in through a tunnel, we automatically know that he's considered a roidiv because he's prepared to die for it. Mashenk, if he climbs over the wall, we don't know that he's a roidiv, but we know he wants to steal money. Doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to kill somebody. It's only if he goes out of his way and he spends a lot of time breaking through the wall and building a tunnel that we know he's ready to kill. So we see from here that the by a roidiv, you don't need hasra. Okay, stop here.